Welcome, everybody. It's time for the one show that takes you where no one else will, out into the wilderness of sales techniques and technologies, with your own personal guide, your own personal pilgrim on the 405. It's international sales trainer Will Crist. Hey, Will Crist, you with us?
I am here. All right. So, well, we're way up north on the 405 today. We're going remote. We're trying this iPhone to make sure to see that Skype works even up in North L.A. We got an interesting show today because we've been poking around, talking to different people, and we've got some people from around the country that are going to be with us talking about how we use the new technology to get behind those walls that people are putting up. How do we become more accessible? I would really like to start off with today is a fellow who's been in Southern California for many years and probably has evaluated every business in Southern California for one reason or another. And what we discovered in our conversations getting ready for the show today is there's lots of people out there who have lots of struggles, but for various reasons, they don't take advantage of the resources that are all around them. Orange County is known for a tremendous number of high-quality consultants, high-quality professionals who can help solve almost any problem. But because of a number of reasons, which Fritz and I are going to talk about, sometimes the CEOs are caught like deers in the headlights. So I want to welcome a fellow who's been around and done a lot of work in Orange County, very much involved with a group called ProVisors, and he is the managing partner for the mentor group, Fritz Strelo.
Hi there.
So Fritz, tell us a little bit about what the mentor group is. Help us situate where you are in the economy in Southern California.
Well, we call ourselves investment bankers. We're involved in many different investment banking activities, including, of course, business valuations and real estate appraisals and selling companies and raising money for companies. So pretty much a typical type of activity for an investment bank. And we are very active in Orange County, of course, and I'm probably one of the most productive in that community because I've just done a ton of valuation work over the years and continue to do so. So, and this year's actually started off with a bang, so we're doing really well right now.
All right, so we were talking about evaluations that you do, and people will ask you to come in and do evaluation for a number of different reasons. And sometimes when that evaluation comes in, more often than not, it doesn't meet the number that they had in their head. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. In fact, funny you should mention that. Many times people do have a real idea of the value of the business. And, of course, some folks have a distorted view and they place value on intangible type of things which really have no value in dollars. And, you know, it's all driven by the profitability of a business. So we get some strange responses. And we sometimes have angry clients. They understand that we've done a quality job, but they don't like the results. So, and sometimes they try to guide us to the result they want, which is kind of fun.
Right. Is there a way that we could help you to see a different side of our business that you didn't pick up on, right?
Yeah, the classic one is, you know, you walk through a manufacturing plant and the owner is proudly showing us all the new machines and the new CNCs and the latest computers. And I whisper in his ear and I say, are you making any money? And we keep walking further, and we go back in the office, and it's very nice. We get introduced to all the people, and I whisper in his ear again, are they making any money? Finally get into his office, into the privacy of his office, and he says, well, you know, we're struggling a little bit. I said, you're not making any money, are you?
And it really comes down to that, doesn't it? It's not as the fixed assets are not as valuable as the systems that are in place that will generate the cash, right?
Exactly. And when they generate cash, they're valuable. But unfortunately, when it comes to fixed assets, if we want to draw on that subject for a minute, I mean, there's such a glut of equipment on the market. If you want to deal, for example, with manufacturing, office equipment, anything really, computers, I mean, they lose their value in a few months. So when somebody asks me to look at their fixed assets, unless it's real estate, which is pretty solid, or you know, something else, and then often I have to let them know that, you know, I just saw you know, 20 printing presses going up in an auction, and they were selling for 10% of their value because nobody wants to buy printing presses. So what do you think yours are worth?
Yeah. So that's, you know, so that the real issue is the creativity of the business team or the management team on how they're producing money. I mean, that's what it's about, right?
It is about that. And your question in your initial write-up said, you know, what works in this new economy? And you know, I guess nothing has changed. I mean, it's you still have to work hard, and you have to work smart, and you know, we're still in the numbers game. Everyone is, no matter whether they're owner of a manufacturing company or an attorney, they all in the numbers game. They all have to produce certain numbers and target certain people. My standard response is, you know what, you choose your audience, you use the very sophisticated methods we have today of sorting out, you know, potential client bases or audiences, and then you go after them, and you do so, in the most efficient and most effective way, and those the different means to do that. So,
well, now let's pick up on the part of the conversation that I found very interesting that you and I were having. There are many businesses that come back with their evaluation lower than they needed. Maybe they're trying to sell it. They need some number. They want to borrow up against it or something. But there's some reason that asked you to come up with a number. And when that number is lower, generally, doesn't that mean they need to increase their revenue, to increase their sales?
It does. I mean, the other factors, obviously, but sales is what drives most companies. I mean, we identify inadvertently or sometimes deliberately what we call value drivers. And it's I have to admit, I mean, I agree with you. It's frequently the ability of the staff or the individual owner to go out and sell, to go out and get new customers, to recognize they have to invest in selling. And, you know, I'm going to tell a little story real quick. It's not long, but, you know, I ask clients quite bluntly, you know, how do you promote business during quote-unquote normal times? You know, you use print, radio, TV, internet, whatever you do. And then I ask them, how do you promote business during tough times when you need it the most? And believe it or not, many people say, well, you know, I cut back on that because I didn't want to spend the money. So my response is, so you receive less business in the first place, and most of all, you miss out on the opportunity to garner market share from those others who think the same way you do. So you're not hiring sales, you're not promoting sales, you're not promoting your product because you don't want to spend the money. And it's a totally wrong approach. And people look at me like, you know, what happened? I mean, what did I say? I look so stupid right now.
Well, and isn't that part, my question has to do with there's so many people out who have a track record of being able to help.
No question about it.
And I mean, you know, you don't have to use a particular company. Mm-hmm. There are lots of companies who can help people get clear on what they need to do, what their sales team needs to do to sell, who they need to have on board, how to manage them, how to hold people accountable, how to motivate them, how to help set goals. All of those are there. If you're not having sales, unless you're going to slide into the accept the excuse of, well, it's the economy, if you're not having sales and you don't take the excuses, then there's something that you either don't want to do or you don't know how to do. And that's why I'm curious as to why people don't ask for help.
Well, I think, you know, I see a lot of entrepreneurs. Some of them are quite successful. They've got companies that are doing $100 million in sales. But many entrepreneurs don't grow out of that, you know, I can do it all type of mentality. And some have tremendous technical skills. Some have marketing skills. And some have financial skills. But none of them have all those skills. And those that have no desire or don't understand sales and marketing are you know, they've been coasting for a long time on a pretty healthy economy, and when this thing happened, you know, they realized that they're just not going to make it. And you know, I can preach and talk and remind, and there are, like I said, there are resources out there, there are consultants, there are agencies, there are all kinds of, you know, people out there who can help. I mean, it's not easy to sort them out. And there are some shysters out there, too, you have to admit. but there's some generalists who know a lot, but who really aren't suitable to drive sales in the company. They're maybe suitable for you know, maybe some strategic assignment. But anyway, so that's I think that's what you're asking, right?
Yeah, we're looking at what are the reasons that people don't reach out for help. To me, you know, there's certainly the value. I certainly appreciate that a CEO has from helping his company or her company get better. I mean, there's certainly a value there. At the same time, there's a larger value for the place that that company plays in the larger economy of Orange County or Southern California. Right. I mean, if our companies in Southern California are stronger, we have a better economy. We have a better life, right?
That's absolutely true, and it filters through. I mean, it's really a trickle-up effect because of, I had a conversation the other day with someone. You know what? If you do better, you're paying your employees, you're paying your vendors, and they in turn spend the money, and it circulates, and it makes everything better.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't want to come across as preachy, but it does seem to me that there's some sort of moral obligation or there's some sort of place that companies play and leaders in companies play in a larger world, larger than just their own world.
Well, I think their own world sometimes is very clogged up with you know, daily activities without maybe focusing on this special area or you know, of sales and marketing. And I think it's primarily a lack of understanding of what can be done. And, you know, the big key is how to reach these people. I reach them because I'm invited in, and certainly I can make recommendations and suggestions. I can't force them to take action, but I can point out the weaknesses and say, you really need to do something here. But, you know, I think it's just a function of the sales and marketing organizations that are out there, you know, helping these CEOs to do a better job of getting in front of these people.
Yeah, and you know, the to me, one of the things that, well, I don't know how to put this, Fritz. You help me with the words, but those of us who are of more mature years and have had more experience in the marketplace and business have been through a number of ups and downs.
Sure.
We can see the connection between thriving companies and a good lifestyle for people all up and down the socioeconomic scale. And it seems to me that we, in particular, have some responsibility for helping to guide folks in a way that's helpful to them, too. And it seems to me that's part of how we're going to get beyond this very, very slow-growing economy is when we begin to help each other see that there are not only responsibilities, but there are also resources there that can help us get better faster.
I would agree. I see that, like I said, I mean, the other day when we talked, I mean, it's just something that comes to mind almost daily. I mean, I deal with it. I've got a company now, a client who's, you know, in the building maintenance business. I won't mention names, but, and they just finally decided they had to do a sales and marketing push, and they put a program into place. And the challenge I now have is that they want me to value the company based on what's going to happen this year as a result of next year. So,
here's our plan. Like, so evaluate based upon what we want to have happen, right?
At least I have a plan. It looks reasonable. Yeah. So, you know, right. And I see this more now, but like you said, there's still a fast gap between, you know, those that are doing something proactive and like our friend Frank, and those who sort of sit there and say, gee, I wonder what I should do next, or I'm busy running my machine, or I'm busy, doing something else that I think is more important, or maybe busy talking to the bank to try to stay alive, you know? So it's...
Right. Absolutely.
You almost have to demonstrate a direct return on investment, Chris. I mean, well, right. So I don't know when you get in front of someone, if I were to introduce you to someone and I said, okay, you know, here's a gentleman who can help you or his firm can help you, very quickly one has to get to return on investment. That's a language everyone understands.
And I think that's an important piece for all of us to understand, is that the resources, the time, the money that we put toward a project, we have to understand what those what the return on that investment is going to be. And part of that is holding each other accountable for how we're going to get there and actually doing it and moving. It is not easy. You know, turning a ship around, changing a company from reacting to being proactive is not an easy thing. I mean, you take a group of salespeople and sales management, turning that around is difficult. Mm-hmm. At the same time, if you don't, you're not going to get that increase in revenue. So there's some investment of both of all three, time, resources, and money, but there must be a return on that investment, and you must agree on that before you even go in. Right. Wouldn't you think so?
I think one of the challenges is also having the follow through by management or by the CEO or owner of the company, and we all know that, you know, people have good intentions and then things kind of fade a little bit unless you keep them motivated, and I think it's real critical that somebody is on top of these guys once they make a commitment to it, and otherwise you got to look like a bad guy, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it, you know, what we're talking about is incremental change over a long period of time. We're not talking about coming in and doing a 2-day or even a 3-week or a 6-week program and then expecting things are going to get fixed. This is a long-term incremental change with those kinds of accountability thresholds and benchmarks along the way, so we know where we're going and we can measure that, right?
Exactly. You need to be able to demonstrate that it's working, even at that, in the incremental incremental method. I mean, you need to be able to say, okay, you know, here's what we're
doing. So, in a real sense, that when those folks that have asked you to do an evaluation, the number that they wanted to hear from you, that becomes their goal, doesn't it? That becomes their mountaintop if they're still motivated.
It does become a goal. In fact, that's sometimes, you know, they say, well, I want to retire in a couple of years, and I really called you in because I want to know what I need to do to get to my number within the next couple of years. And there's no question that that happens frequently.
Uh-huh.
So you
you can help them identify what they need to have, which would be a revenue stream that looks like this, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
A cost structure that looks like this. That's going to produce this kind of bottom line,
we're not at that level. We could bring you in, or we could bring someone you know that's a consultant in to work on that aspect of it. We pretty much present what we find, we identify value drivers possibly, and then we are not in a position where we then become involved to help them further. But at least they know what they should be doing.
Yeah, and so that's so painful, I suppose, so painful to know that there's people out there who are struggling. I had an experience with a company. We were talking about their salespeople, and the CEO just started going down the line of all of his 10 salespeople, telling me why every one of them would not make the kind of goals that he needed to have. Mm. And by the time he was through, I was exhausted and felt depressed, but I certainly felt the pain that he was going through until I realized that he was creating that reality. That when I looked at his salespeople, he was going to allow them to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the end of our conversation, he said to me, well, what is it that you're trying to sell me? And I said, well, I could sell you sales training. I could sell you sales management training. I could sell you lots of things. But if I sell you one thing today, it would be your conviction that your people could be a lot better. And maybe that's where we all are, is trying to get to the conviction that we can all be doing better than what we're doing right now.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I can look in the mirror and say that for myself. Anybody can.
Well, certainly for me. But you know, when a CEO limits his people by his own beliefs, that's where that seems to me that's one place to begin. And I'm just excited because I see you in a really interesting place, because you have people coming in asking to do take a thermometer. Tell me what the value is here.
Right.
And
right, right.
And then afterward, there's that little space there where somebody could find out that they could increase their value dramatically. It may not be sales training or sales management training. Could be something else. But if they could just take that next step and say, therefore, I'm going to get that and bring that into my business and make that turnaround.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And there is a little step. There's a little open question, and then it becomes a judgment call on whether, you know, it's our role, my role, to take it to the next level and say, fine, I know some people.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do, of course. You know, and I know people that can help with sales and marketing. And so definitely, that definitely comes up. So.
Well, tell me what you're seeing in the marketplace today. How do you see it shaping up? Getting better? Staying stable?
I never saw it as bad as some people did, and I also see it not as good as some people like to see it. It's better. Our business has vastly increased in the last couple of months. I have to think that the people who label our economic conditions have their own goals in mind, so I don't like labels for the economic situation that we have from month to month. Because I can make my own thermometer and look at it. And we've benefited from the new confidence, and you know, it's all psychological. I mean, some of it's not even tied to real numbers. Not even the government numbers are real. They're distorted. So, you know, but we're proactive. You know, I go to meetings sometimes 3 to 4 times a week of provisors. And so we know where to go for business. We know who to target, you know, and that's the critical thing for any business owner. I mean, you need to know how to target, and there's so many tools. You know, it is so easy today to get a database of people, I mean, that is sorted out to the minutest detail. Anyway, you asked me a general question. I mean, I think we're doing better, there's no question. There's work in the pipeline, so that means we're going forward a few months with a good amount of activity. People are more confident. They also are more interested in selling right now. In fact, I've had 3 assignments recently where I was called to value the companies because they were approached by someone wanting to buy them, and they wanted to get an idea whether those offers were reasonable. So that's very encouraging, but it's also driven by the age of these owners. You know, we have a huge population of baby boomers, including myself, who at some point have to do something, either give it to children or sell it.
Yeah. And that's going to be a tighter and tighter.
Yep.
I mean, there's going to be more and more pressure on that as we move forward, right?
It is. Yeah unless they want to die at their death. Some do, you know.
Well, there's another place to look at in addition to training. There's also an exit plan where you're grooming the people who are going to take over, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, my father had a business and tried to sell it, and he wound up, you know, as in many businesses, he took back paper on it, and the fellow was just not capable of running the business. He wasn't, there was no malfeasance, he just wasn't capable, and eventually it went bankrupt, which, you know, just destroyed my father's exit plan. And at the same time, I mean, that is a critical thing for baby boomers to have, is what is going to be my succession plan, and how good are they, not at being a nice guy, not just at being honest, but how good are they at generating revenue, building a team that's going to generate revenue?
Well, even there, you should bring someone from the outside in to evaluate those people. Not me, but I mean someone who is capable of making an independent judgment on the people that you're bringing in to take over those roles.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, it shouldn't be your judgment alone.
Well, that's that. You know, it's the same thing. People coming asking you to come in and bring some objective tools. That's where a professional training team will bring the evaluation tools out. Before they start, they will know what's going on. They can help people hire the right people. Now, they're not going to do the hiring for them. They're not going to do the recruiting.
Right.
But they are going to give a process, develop a process that, if followed, will generate the best people in the marketplace. And you'll know something about it before you sit down and talk to them.
Well, it's unfortunate that I have clients who are not giving enough value to the people that are replacing them, you know, and I would say they're not willing to pay them adequately, and I preach all the time, you know, you got to get the best people, and if you have to pay them top dollar, for your business to do better or to survive, you need to do that. It's important, and you're going to benefit from it. But it's a tough call, and again, it's the entrepreneurial thing where, you know, I don't need to do this because I know everything.
Right, right, and that the same thing. It's a return on your investment right. of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this is wonderful. I mean, I wish we could have more conversations like this around Southern California, where people are really encouraging each other to help them be the best, help their people to be the best, and to do what's necessary, whether that's training or better management or whether it's knowing more about what's getting in my way, about the goals that I want to accomplish. But I wish we could have more conversations like this.
Well, I would be happy to have more conversations with anyone that's interested, of course, including you.
Good. Well, good. So if somebody wanted to talk to you, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, of course, phone number is 714-220-1200.
What's that again?
My phone number is 714-220-1200.
Okay, and where's your website? Where can people go?
But they can. Well, I can give you the address. It's 895 Dove Street, D-O-V-E, third floor.
Okay.
Newport Beach.
All right. And you got a website, right?
Well, that's www, and it's the Mentor Group, all together, mentorgroup.biz. That's B-I-Z at the end.
All right, let me leave you with one opportunity. If you had a megaphone and a minute, and you could talk to business leaders in Orange County, Southern California, what would you say to them in that minute?
Reach out to other professionals who can assist you in enhancing your business. Find the people who can help you with sales and marketing. Find the people who can help you be more productive in your facility. And find the strategic advisors who can help you grow and double your business in a year.
Super. That's great. Thanks so much, Fritz, for taking time to be with us tonight. It's always wonderful to talk with you. I look forward to doing it soon.
Likewise. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it.
All right. Now, before we go on to take a look at some of the fascinating new technology for making that communication with customers and prospects, I want to listen to a word from our sponsors at Sandler Training.
Time for another tip from the Sandler Sales Institute. You know, many people call on accounts and are extremely anxious to tell them about their products and services. After the sales call, they walk out bewildered why they didn't get an order. I told them every reason why they should buy, but nothing happened. If you're dropping off information, proposals, marketing materials without really understanding your customers' buying motives, you are spilling your candy in the lobby. Once they have your information and pricing, do they really need you anymore? The customer wouldn't shop your information to your competitors, would they? Are you and your salespeople spilling your candy in the lobby? Well, if they are, stop it. Customers are not entitled to your information or demonstration until you understand their buying motives, money, and how they make decisions. This has been another Sandler Sales Institute tip.
And now back to Will Crist, out of the wilderness. You still with us, Will?
I'm right here. You bet. You bet.
I love this iPhone thing. You're communicating to the world through your iPhone in a way that we've never done before.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here waiting for my iPad 2 to get up here so we can make that part of the mix as well.
I'm telling you, you are on the frontier, my friend. You're on the frontier.
Well, I think what's really interesting, we're going to hear in a moment from Matthew Silk, and this is what's really interesting, the kinds of things that to take the whole idea of this do-it-yourself, this, you know, break into an industry, a communication channel that's been so tight and so expensive for small and medium businesses to get into, and then all of a sudden here we have this wonderful opportunity for people, and I don't know how many people even know about it. So we're gonna begin speaking with the founder and the senior vice president of a company called Waterfall Mobile, and Matthew Silk is with us from Austin, Texas, having moved there from San Francisco recently. So, Matthew, welcome to Pilgrim on the 405.
Hey, thanks, Will. I'm glad to be here.
Well, so tell us a little bit about this fascinating technology that you have at Waterfall.
Absolutely. And thanks for having us and giving us a chance to talk to your audience a bit and let them know about some of the great things we're doing with our clients and our technology. So Waterfall
Sure.
Mobile built an enterprise messaging technology platform that helps brands, agencies, and technology companies really empower communications with their subscribers for mobile and social CRM. Sounds like a mouthful, but what we've done is we've taken a lot of the complexity out of mobile and social messaging for customers so they can take advantage of these great new interactive channels that previously were only available to the largest brands that would spend 10, 25, or 50 grand and wait 3 months to get a campaign up and running. We have a technology platform called the MessageMe platform that allows a brand or an agency or a technology company of any size to get up and running with campaigns in a matter of minutes at extremely affordable price points.
So your campaigns are campaigns to cell phones, text messages to cell phones.
Correct. We focus on SMS, text messaging, and IVR, interactive voice response, and we've started adding social media messaging, like Twitter messaging and Facebook messaging. But really, our backbone and where we come from is focusing on SMS messaging. That's really what we started with when we founded the company back in 2005.
So, for instance, when I was on the phone with my producer a little earlier, I was on Skype with him, and in the middle of that, I have a text message that says, I mean, this literally happened about an hour ago, and I thought about you. The text message comes up and says, would you like to reduce your debts by 90%? Text yes, mm-hmm. if you do, and text N if you don't want to do the survey. Now, That's pretty simple. All I have to do is simply put in an N or a Y and hit respond, and I've communicated, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the technology platform that we provide allows a brand or an agency to build an opt-in database of their customers where they can now communicate and have a dialogue, whether they're sending out coupons and specials, updates on their products. They can send out a poll and actually ask customers questions and have an interactive dialogue. So any number of great mobile messaging features and campaigns are now available at your fingertips to really configure in a matter of seconds. And it really takes things beyond a one-way asynchronous communication, which most text messaging is. You're just texting with a friend, a colleague, a parent. Now we're empowering businesses to have this dialogue and make it interactive and really talk to their customers and let them feel engaged in the product, the promotion, or whatever the particular marketing campaign may be.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking back. There was a restaurant over in the Spectrum in Irvine that was fairly new, and when I came up to pay my, since there was something, they said, would you like to participate in our coupon campaign? And I thought that was interesting. So they wanted this is the first time anybody had asked for my cell phone number in a retail establishment. They don't generally do that. They did. They said, we'll text you when we have special offers. Well, that was fascinating to me because then, I'm in the Spectrum regularly, so what I've learned was they would have special offers at different times, and I could participate in it. Otherwise, I wouldn't even know that they're there. I don't read, all those that mail, that junk mail that comes in with all the offers. I don't have time to do that, but I do have time. I have that 10 seconds, 5 seconds to look at that text message and decide if I want to respond to that.
You got it. And even if you saw a banner on the wall or a poster that said, go back to this website and sign up and give us your email address, you're probably going to forget about that 15 minutes later. But when
Absolutely.
You have a great special or an offer in front of the user and you give them an easy way sending a text message to a short code, in 2 seconds you can be on that list. It's a great way to interact with that customer and really catch them when they're inspired. You just had a great meal. You just, you know, had some great service. Well, you're probably very interested in joining that particular mobile club and getting more offers or more content from that particular brand or agency.
Yeah. Now you folks do all the back end work, right?
That is correct. We're on the technology side, and we work with brands, agencies, and technology companies of all sizes, really trying to take the complexity of, you know, what is a short code? How do I connect with the aggregators, carriers, all those, you know, words that would overwhelm a small business owner and from a cost standpoint would definitely overwhelm them. We've taken all that complexity out and give them a simple web-based self-service platform so they can really focus on their customers and their content. So you can literally go to our platform at messageme.com. It's msgme.com. Sorry for the little shameless plug. You can go to our platform.
No, we want you to do that.
Set up an account in 30 seconds or less. We actually give you a free trial, and you can literally set up a campaign by grabbing a keyword on one of our short codes that's already set up, specify the content, whether it's a coupon, a poll, whatever that campaign that you want to have happen when people text your keyword, and you can be interacting in a matter of seconds. So it's a great way to get started on a very small investment basis. And then if your business needs scale and you want to invest in multiple accounts, multiple short codes, really integrating with your websites, we have a whole suite of tools that you can integrate and grow with us as your needs grow. I mean, we have Fortune 100 brands on our platform. We have technology companies that are building messaging features into their email marketing platforms, for example. And we also have, you know, people that are just trying out their first campaign and want to get started and want to see if people will text into their billboard and start to interact with their particular brand.
Yeah. Now this is not text spam. I mean, this is not aimed at having tens of thousands of cell phone numbers that somebody would buy, and then I just blast that out to everybody, is it?
Absolutely not. I mean, the text messaging market has a really stringent set of rules and regulations about how you need to opt in customers and how you need to obtain that permission and how often you're allowed to message them. And essentially what happens when you text into a promotion or key in your phone number if you're on a website and someone has a widget allowing you to sign up, we have to actually send an opt-out message to the customer, or we can send a message and ask them to reply why to opt in. So there's a couple different methods to get people onto the list, but any reputable company in our space is doing strictly opt-in permission-based marketing. So it's definitely not something if you ever hear of a vendor that says, I have 100 million opted-in customers, I would steer clear of a company like that. So we're strictly the technology provider that allows a customer to organically build their list and do mobile messaging the right way.
So I a little metaphor that came to mind. I regularly go to Alaska, to villages in Alaska. These villages maybe have 90 people in it, maybe 25, maybe 300. And there was a time when there was money available for a mental health in the villages. And many of the villages used some of that money to put in CB radios. So they have CB, something like the village of Huslia has a CB radio in every house. They have a communication channel that they all have opted into, and they can use that to improve the quality of their life. Now, that sounds to me, a similar case for what you're doing, is because of the power of opting in and companies taking responsibility for providing legitimate offers, people have generated a community to be communicated with. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, we tend to find, people ask us all the time how big their mobile list should be. And, you know, rule of thumb, depending on their particular content, we tell people, you're probably going to have a mobile list 10 to 20% the size of your email list. But what we found is that 10 or 20% are usually your top-tier customers. They're the ones that most want to engage in your brand. They're probably your top customers that are buying the most from you. Because these are people that are inviting you into basically their cell phone. The cell phone today is almost an extension of your body. It's something you never leave home with. I mean, there's been surveys that say you leave home without your wallet before you leave home without your cell phone. So inviting someone to communicate over
this
very personal device is really critical, and it's really up to the brands to respect that contract that you generate with that customer when they opt into your program and really make sure that the content you're sending them or the promotions you're sending them are, you know, valid promotions, and you're really giving and incenting that customer to stay a part of your list and stay engaged with your brand.
Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at how an SMB company, a small, medium business company, could use something like this. And I'm thinking particularly of an automobile. I mean, my automobile has regular periods of maintenance. I mean, it may be car washing, it may be tire rotation, it may be oil change. But there are companies that specialize in supporting, providing this regular pattern of maintenance on automobiles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the reasons that I wouldn't change my oil? Well, it might be that I've just forgotten to do it, not paying attention to it, too busy doing other things. Could be that, you know, that I'm cutting back because I'm trying to save money. But other than that, I've forgotten if I don't do it. Now, it seems to me, would that be a use of this? I opt in at an oil change company allows me to opt in to a message system like this, where when it's reasonable that I have gone through the cycle, time for my oil change, I get a text message.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful use case and a really simple one. I mean, imagine you just finished getting your oil changed, and the technician is walking you through, letting you know, you know, all the stuff that they did to your car. And while he's sitting in front of the computer terminal, he either asks you to text a keyword to a short code, or maybe even as a module in the computer system, and he asks, would you like to sign up for text messages? So that's the call to action. That's when he's asking for permission to opt into that list. And what the brand can then do, the oil change place, can then schedule a message right then and there upon you opting in to send you a reminder 3 months from then. So it's something that you can automate as part of a messaging campaign that 3 months from the time you checked out and paid for your oil change, you're going to get that reminder. You may very well forget to look in the little sticker on your dash to remember when you're supposed to change your oil, but you're going to get that text message, and then you'll be like, hey, it has been 3 months. Oh, my God, I've already driven 5,000 miles. I should have done this a long time ago. And that's a great way to remind you to come back. And it actually brings, it actually builds that affinity with that particular brand, because there's a lot of choices in oil change places. But now my particular place that I just went to reminded me, and they added some value, and they made that information exchange even more valuable. So I'm most likely going to go back to that same place because now I have that relationship with that particular brand. So that's a great, great use case.
And as well, in that, there could be a campaign because we have a special offer this week, because something has changed in our business, so we're going to pass that savings on to you. That kind of communication channel, by opting into that, I become part of that communication.
Absolutely. And since text messaging is so ubiquitous and so common, I mean, you can send out a coupon that says, you know, give your friends this special code and they can get $5 off. And it's something that you could even track. So there's ways to incent your avid users to bring in other friends. So it's just it's a great new marketing channel. And a lot of the same marketing principles that you see in the digital world or the email world apply. It's just now a different medium. Now you're dealing with a medium that is 160 characters. It's text-based. It's, you know, very much asynchronous. But it's something that people check in a matter of 10 or 15 seconds. Unlike an email that you might get 200 emails a day and just be overwhelmed with the marketing messages you're getting from all different brands, you're going to probably sign up for a lot less mobile lists, but the ones you sign up for, you're going to care about that content. And I guarantee it, as soon as that light goes off on your phone, you're going to be checking that, whether you're in a meeting, unfortunately, whether you're driving, shouldn't be texting while driving, but as soon as people see that light go off on their phone, they're going to check that text message. So it's a way to really get in front of that customer and give them some great content and give them an incentive to keep interacting with your brand.
And there's something interesting, too, that I'm experiencing. I mean...
Absolutely. I mean, I think the most important thing is you're able to really capture people at that point of inspiration. So you just watched, one of our great clients is Participant Media Take Part. They do all social activism-based movies like Sariana, Inconvenient Truth, and they won an Oscar for the best documentary for the movie The Cove, which was about the slaughter of the dolphins in Japan. That was actually the first project we worked with them on. And at the end of the movie, when people were really charged up and really feeling passionate about that particular issue and that cause, they put a great call to action on the credits that said, if you want to help stop this slaughter, text DOLPHIN to 44144. It was such a simple campaign, and it really caught people right after they saw the movie, while they were fired up and they wanted to get involved. And what that campaign did is you texted in, you joined the mobile subscription list, so Take Part and Participant Media now had you captured on their list for future sales and marketing, but then they also sent you a text message that linked you through to a mobile-optimized web form where you could send a form letter to President Obama, Joe Biden, and the Japanese ambassador to pledge your support to stop the slaughter of the dolphins in Japan. So in 30 seconds or less, you were able to join this list for future sales and marketing, and you were able to fill out a form that generated a letter to pledge your support for this cause.
I think we got Will back here. He had to stop and read a couple of text messages there.
I had to get a phone call. I had a phone call from my son in Chicago, and he also sent a text message just saying, call me when you have time. And we're learning that kind of technology. Get a phone call in, and it stops a Skype call.
Stops a Skype call. Okay. Well, what we were talking about is how this really opens a whole new medium. You know, we're always trying to talk about how advertising is ubiquitous, to use the word that's been floated around here. And what I'm fascinated with is it's using something that up to now has been kind of a ad-free platform. Do you think that's a problem? Will people resist that? That this is like a sacred spot, my cell phone here attached to my hip, and maybe I don't want to get, they're afraid they're going to get bombarded with stuff? Is there a negative to this?
I think some people are concerned about that, but especially the younger generations, they're texting so much now, and they're practicing and trying these different campaigns. You do have some companies that are mixing advertisements in, and the business models are, you know, depends on the particular business model of the company you're working with. But sometimes you can text in, you can get a content message and give up, instead of 160 characters, you could give up 30 or 40 of those characters for an advertisement. So I think you're going to see a number of different business models as this industry evolves. We generally work with our clients and give them the whole 160 characters and don't generally insert advertisements into the messaging.
Well, I'll butt out because I normally I just sit here quietly, but you've got me so fascinated I had to get my two cents in worth. What do you think, Will?
I think it's a very interesting change in the way what I was saying before my son called was that you know, it's in my own head that I'm reluctant to use texting, and I noticed that younger, my grandson, my goodness, he'd be texting along while we're having a conversation. I mean, it's just immediate, and text back and forth two or three or four times while we're doing something else as well. It's just a very different way of going about communicating and keeping that channel open. So it's interesting to me. What I find is when I do text somebody back almost immediately.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, we've found a lot of our brands have done large blasts out to their customer base. They've built some pretty sizable lists in the tens of thousands, and they'll send out a blast, which may be a poll. They want to ask one burning question, and they'll send out that one burning question, and because you only have to reply A, B, or C to answer that one burning question, they'll get response rates in the 70 or 80% response levels. And we find that amazing, but we've seen it time and time again that brands have gone out and gotten those incredible response rates. Now, granted, it's one question. You can't ask a 10-question survey, or you could, but you definitely get some serious drop-off. But if you have that one burning question and you have this engaged customer base, you're going to get those responses. Not only do you get 70 or 80% response rates, but you get it within 2 minutes. So if you're about to go into a product meeting and you want to find out which feature you should really work on next with your engineering team, you know, send a blast out to your 2,000, 10,000, 100,000 people and get some real customer feedback. It's a great way to engage and get that instant gratification
and feedback. You could do that from your cell phone, right?
You could do it from your cell phone. You could also trigger it from the website. We give you those self-service tools, so you as a brand can run those campaigns. You don't have to call your agency and have them run a campaign for you and spend weeks and weeks trying to get that up and running.
That's amazing. And I also find that that something changes in me where I might be a little reluctant to make a telephone call because that's a longer commitment. I may have one question, but I don't want to interrupt somebody with a telephone call for that one question, and I'm also not prepared to invest 2 or 3 minutes, which is the nice way to have a phone call, right? But I find that with texting, I mean, I can text and immediately get a response back, and I don't demand somebody's focus move from what they're doing. I get a lot of texts back when people are, in fact, in meetings. And we get the conversation done. We get the piece, you know, the answer to the question or the solution to the problem, and doesn't really break up his focus with what he's doing.
You've really hit on something. I'm sorry, I'm going to jump in again here, but you've really hit on something there, Will. I'm in my 50s. When I want to communicate with some of our show hosts who are in their 30s or 40s, I leave them a voicemail. They never call me back. But if I send them a text, 5 minutes later, they'll respond. And I was thinking, God, you can't pick up the phone and call me here? But, you know, they're in the middle of another conversation. And there's a generational thing I see happening. My daughter does this. She's 19. She'll be talking to me, and she's texting to somebody else. I don't know that I can carry on two conversations at once, but they sure do today, don't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And so in that world, I guess I wouldn't be offended if a brand is communicating with me, it doesn't have to stop my stream of consciousness or conversation with who I'm talking to in the immediate moment. I can do two things at once, I guess. So you're capturing it.
I don't know if you do two things at once, but you can squeeze that in by focusing on it, and it comes and goes very quickly versus a telephone call or an email. But one of the interesting things, my wife is leaving today at 6:30 from LAX on the plane to Paris to go to Beirut to do some work with the schools there on special education.
Wow.
And rather than have a phone call so close to the radio show, she and I just agreed that we would text. And then what we realized is when she gets to Paris, she's going to be able to text me, I'm here. And all the way through, it's a whole different way of being. When you can text, you can communicate in these little chunks, which I think Twitter picked up on. Now, Matt, do you think that created it, or was that already there?
Twitter was founded right around the same time that we were, and it's been a growing medium, and they've absolutely exploded. I wouldn't say they've created it, but they've certainly helped text messaging grow. But you can also look at the SMS, the rates of SMS and how much text messaging there was over in Europe and Asia. And the U.S. has absolutely caught up, and the amount of text messaging is exploding here in the U.S. So I think it was bound to catch up, but Twitter certainly helped. Twitter opened up a lot of people's eyes to mobile, to this 100, in the Twitter world, it's 140 characters. Text messaging, you get a few more characters. But it's definitely changed the way marketers need to communicate, and you have to communicate in these bite-sized chunks because this new up-and-coming generation is really into that mindset. And a lot of people, you know, won't even respond to emails anymore. If you don't text them or you don't send them a message over a platform like ours, you're not going to get through to some of these generations.
That's exactly what I've been seeing at our end here. We do have some, talk about Twitter. We have somebody who tweeted during the show here and wants to ask a question of Will here.
Great. What was it?
They said that, is this, no, what was the question again? Oh, is this a new product and field, or are there other companies competing in this as well?
Well, let's see. Matt, do you have any competition?
Of course, there are a couple competitors out there. We're focused on enterprise brands, and we work with some of the largest brands like Anheuser-Busch, Participant Media, technology companies like Constant Contact, Bronto, ClickSquared. So we focus on the higher end. There's definitely a few competitors on the higher end, and there's a few competitors on the lower end. The technology itself has actually been around for a number of years, and we founded the company back in 2005. But you've really seen an explosion in the last 2 years. The social media explosion happened, I would say, in 2006, 2007, 2008, and now you're really seeing in 2010 and 2011, mobile's really coming into its own. I think part and parcel to the success of social media and the fact that so much social media is being consumed over mobile. You're seeing a lot more attention in the mobile space with messaging, with mobile web, with mobile apps. So it's not just messaging. We're one of the communications within the mobile marketing world that people are getting their arms around.
60 million people, according to the Pew Research, 60 million people roughly listened to some form of internet radio in the last month, and of that, a third of them listened through some sort of cell phone, some sort of portable platform.
Well, I wonder how many broad cell phone.
I don't know, but I just I had to throw
well,
that in.
We
you
know,
know,
at least one, right?
And we know at least one.
That's right. So, Matt, you mentioned Constant Contact. I use a lot of Constant Contact. Are you? Is Constant Contact a client of yours, or are you doing something through them?
They're a client of ours, so we are helping them on the back end. They are actually building mobile messaging features into their platform, and we are helping them get out to market in a more efficient way by helping them with the short codes. So a lot of those complexities that we mentioned before that have kept brands and agencies away from building mobile messaging, we're able to help technology companies as well and really guide and steer them to bring products to market in a much more efficient and quicker fashion.
So we might be, those of us who use Constant Contact might be seeing some sort of mobile venue or channel sometime soon.
Absolutely.
All righty. Well, we look forward to that. Well, listen, Matt, this has been wonderful. And what's the weather like in Austin right now?
The weather's been beautiful. I think it was about 80 degrees today and sunny, and it was really hard to stay in the office while I was looking outside and seeing a beautiful sunny day.
Well, you know, that's the hardest part.
It looks like it's still 83 degrees, even though it's 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to school in Texas at Texas Christian University, and the biggest difficulty was not wanting to go around and roll around the grass with some good friends and stay in the library. Now, when I got into Cambridge in Massachusetts later on for graduate study, there wasn't a problem. It was too cold outside. So I completely understand where you are right now. Well, Matt, thank you so much for helping us to see around the hill and see what's coming. If you had a minute and a megaphone, you could talk to small businesses, medium businesses. What would you say in your minute?
All I would say is come check out our technology platform at messageme.com. That's MSGME.com. We'd love to have a discussion with you after you kick the tires. We think this is a great new technology, and it's a new technology that it's easy to get up and running if you have the right partners like Waterfall, and really starting to build that list. It's absolutely critical that marketers who already understand email marketing and have probably been doing this for quite some time start to build that list and start to collect those opt-ins so you can communicate over this great new interactive channel. This new generation is absolutely going to be looking to get their marketing messages over this mobile channel. So get in the game and start collecting that list. And we'd love to help out all of your listeners.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being with us. Look forward to
Thank you very much, Will. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay.
Take care. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Find those good tacos down there in Austin. All right. Absolutely. So there we are, Mr. Roberts. Glad that you jumped in there.
Well, we lost you once there, and you opened the door, and then I couldn't shut up because I think that's fascinating stuff here. I mean, I'm actually going to have to do something I haven't done before. I'm going to have to go back and re-listen to this episode because I'm not sure I really wrap my head around the possibilities of this new technology. I'm not really sure.
We're going to do even more of that because part of what we're doing is now that we've gotten through the first part of the recovery and people now are no longer deer in the headlights, they're
right.
Now beginning to look around the new options. What we're going to begin doing is bringing in a number of these options like waterfall media and like some other things. Adam Metz is going to be with us in a couple of weeks from the Pedowitz Group.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who are scouring the horizon. Technologies, they're creating the new technologies, and their ways of helping people in Southern California make their businesses thrive. So we're going to have more of that. So you may wind up listening to more and more of these channels.
Well, I listened to them.
I just got a text message from my wife. She says, no wireless at LAX, no internet connection, getting ready to board. She wouldn't be able to do it. She's moved beyond the internet. Now
yeah.
She's simply giving me a text through the phone.
I'm going to let you get off with that because I know you got a caller here, but I'm just fascinated by all this stuff.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And you are the one who brought internet radio to Southern California and are making that possible for us. And we've got a lot of stuff going on around the country that's going to be coming through your way. So
I'm pleased.
It's even more exciting.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, this is the Pilgrim on the 405. North, right near the 10, and getting ready to call my wife as she gets ready to take 405 on her way to Paris and on to Beirut. So, take care. We look forward to talking with you next week when we will be talking to some more interesting people telling you how to help thrive in this new economy. Make it a great week. Look forward to talking with you again.
Well, there's only one Pilgrim on the 405, and I tell you, he finds some interesting paths to follow, doesn't he? Only on octalkradio.net.